From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live at libertyroundtable.com. Donate today. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org with us. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning, Sam.
Man, GM is going crazy, buddy. And it's getting worse. The dollars are starting to rack up, and it's getting crazy. GM may be losing, they say, $25 million a day during the strike. And Anderson Economic Group projects or estimates that GM has lost profits so far of about $113 million and now losing $25 million a day. And you got striking UAW members. And workers, they're laid off. Workers have lost wages, they say, totaling, let's see, big money. So what do you say to that?
Yeah. Well, it's, I think it's important to take a step back. There's this massive, corruption scandal at the United Auto Workers right now. And I think you cannot look at this strike without realizing the connection between that corruption and this decision by union officials to go out on strike. They went out very quickly, which is quite unusual. They had a deadline, and basically as soon as that first deadline passed, they said we're going out on strike. As opposed to what's more normal, they talk, maybe they use the deadline to get a little closer, and then they extend it a little bit usually that's how they avoid strikes altogether, or maybe it only comes when you've really got to an impasse. But here you've got UAW officials. I mean, just days before they went out on strike, the president of the UAW's house was raided by the FBI. They found $30,000 in cash, and this is part of this huge investigation where I think nine union officials have already either pled guilty or been convicted. More are expected to come under federal prosecution soon. And so in the midst of all that, it's in many ways very convenient for UAW officials to suddenly call a strike because that changes the conversation. So they don't want, members, rank-and-file workers talking about, wait a second, do these guys really have my best interest? Why does the head of the UAW have $30,000 in wads of bills in his garage? Why are they taking $100,000 golf trips to California for months at a time when they're supposed to be representing me? Right now, they get to play the sort of class warfare, the company versus the union, and that deflects completely from this huge scandal that I think it should be the biggest story right now, and yet they've made it go away by going out on strike. So it's a fascinating example of how union officials do what's best for themselves, off to the detriment of workers. I mean, you've got these UAW rank and file guys. They're out there. They're getting $250 a week from a strike fund. A strike fund that has less money because the union used it to build a luxury cabin for the last union president, whose house was also raided in August by the FBI. And that luxury cabin was actually so expensive when they bid it out, they couldn't get any, they couldn't build it with all union labor because that would have cost over $1 million to build. So they ended up going with a combination of union and non-union contractors to get that a bid under $1 million.
Now, by the way, the rank and file members should sue over that, saying, hey, if you're going to force us to be part of a union, we can force you to use us for the labor. That is a suit that's just begging to happen, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean,
the point is you can't have it both ways, right? You can't say, well, everybody's got to be a member of the union by force, but yet by, you know, we can use non-union labor to get this done if we choose, right?
Well, I think the bigger point is, I mean, why is the strike fund being used to build, luxury lakeside cabins for the former union president who lives in California, but this way he's got this place he can stay anytime he wants in Michigan at the UAW-run golf course, which loses money year after year. I mean, the union officials have abused their monopoly for decades, and we're finally seeing the ugly underbelly of that, just this self-dealing that the union officials have had. And that's why, that's the other reason I think they're on strike. So the big union corruption scandal really took place, really caught the eye of the Department of Labor and the FBI and federal prosecutors because of the last round of contract negotiations. Basically, Fiat Chrysler and the UAW officials who were supposed to be negotiating with Fiat Chrysler, they got together and were basically stealing money out of the worker training funds. And Chrysler let them take it because they figured it would get them a sweetheart deal when it came to contract negotiations. So the lead negotiator was buying, $10,000 shotguns and jewelry and paying off credit card debt out of money that's supposed to be for worker training.
Yeah, sadly, it sounds like the government doesn't
do it. Yeah, and so another reason why they're on strike here is because if they just came to a deal, even if it was, a reasonable deal and the best deal that they probably could have gotten without a strike, the UAW top officials didn't think they could sell it to the rank and file, because the rank and file
was thinking,
you sold us out last time, you probably did it again. And so that's why you've got people out of work collecting $250 a week in strike pay instead of their full pay, basically for the union to paper over all this corruption and to try and sell the workers on the contract that they're very skeptical of, because these union bosses have abused their power so much.
Now, Patrick, what I find interesting on this is the media is not really covering this story in all detail like they ought to. They're kind of ignoring it, and the details are kind of left out. I mean, they mention it from time to time, but they don't really drill into the details that you're bringing to the table. But Joe Biden, trying to take advantage of this as he runs for president of the United States, basically kind of saying, hey, I want to put a law in place that doesn't let the leadership or CEOs make so much money. There's got to be an effort to let the rank-and-file worker make more, and the spread between the CEO and the rank-and-file worker's got to be less. And so Joe's in a backhanded way trying to take advantage of this discussion. But let me just lay out really quick on this. According to the Anderson Economic Group, they estimated that GM had lost profits of $113 million, and they're losing $25 million a day. Now, that's bad on one side of the equation, but then they say workers have lost wages totaling $266 million, so well over double.
Yeah.
That's so far, and they say that translates into an estimated $68 million in lost federal income and payroll taxes. Now, first off, I'm against income and payroll taxes in the first place, because I think there's a better way to tax people, a better way to pay for the proper role of limited government. Nevertheless, I bring this up to say we're talking about huge money, a massive discussion, and literally no one's talking about it hardly.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we track this type of stuff, and the Detroit papers actually do a very good job. It's right there. That's their backyard. They've got beats that are basically the UAW and the auto industry. But it is amazing to me just how much this gets swept under the rug by the national media outlets, or most of them anyway. Think of the NRA. If the same allegations that are against the UAW were against the NRA, it would be front page news every single day. But this is the union, and they've had this strike, which then distracts people. Plus, you've got a lot of reporters who are a little biased, and they want to help the union, even though that means actually helping union officials who are abusing their power over workers. But it's really a missing element to this. And, the other thing is there are many workers who have gone back to work. Unions, workers have the right to keep working, to rebuff the strike demands of union officials. There's a way to do it. They have to be careful about it. They should resign from the union, their formal union membership first, because otherwise union officials will retaliate and try and fine them under the union constitution. But if they're not members, they can't be subjected or not legally subjected to those fines. We find ourselves often representing workers in that situation. But if they go to nrtw.org, righttowork.org, the National Right to Work Foundation's website, there's actually a special legal notice there for GM employees that says if they want to exercise that right, and it's their choice, they can do so, and it walks them through the steps to do it in the way that best gives them as much legal protection as possible. And GM is, paying the full wages for people who are doing that. But obviously a lot of workers don't know their rights. And so they think when the union says you got to go on strike that they don't have a choice in the matter. And so, we want to make sure they know that they do have a choice. They can go back to work if they want, but they need to do it in a way that best, protects themselves.
All right. We come back from our break here in just a second, Patrick. I want to talk a little bit about, obviously people's rights are important. People need to know what their rights are. Certainly, righttowork.org, helping people understand that, backing people who find themselves sideways with this stuff. But I want to know what you think is going to happen. I mean, I haven't heard Donald speak on this much. A lot of times in past, lives, if you will, the President of the United States would get involved in, like, baseball, union strikes or this or that or whatever else. And you see the President getting involved in this? And what an opportunity to stand up for right-to-work states across the country. Where are all the leaders who could make this a household discussion right now if they tried? Patrick's answer in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, Patrick Simmons riding shotgun today. Righttowork.org is his website. We're talking about unions. We're talking about GM. Big money being lost. According to Anderson Economic Group, GM has lost $113 million and they're losing $25 million a day. And the workers have lost way more than that, $266 million. And that translates into $68 million lost in income tax and payroll taxes, and so big money's at stake. Many people say the Anderson estimates are way low, by the way. So that's kind of interesting. It's hard to really put a pen to paper with regards to some of these numbers. Nevertheless, presidents in the past have got involved in a lot of this stuff or whatever. This is an opportunity to promote right to work like you have never seen, but everybody just seems silent on it. Patrick, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. In terms of the president, I mean, in the past, I think he's had really good instincts on this. He's been attacked by a lot of union officials, no surprise there, but he knows that he has a lot of support from rank-and-file workers. I think the UAW itself has said that 30% of its members, they estimate, voted for Trump last in the last election. So his instinct has been to point out the difference that the union, as an entity, maybe controlled by union officials, but that doesn't mean they actually do a good job of representing the rank and file. And so he's oftentimes directed his comments at the rank and file, and saying, look, these union officials are telling you this thing, but here's the truth of the matter. Now, one interesting element in all this is there was a report about a week ago that the Trump White House, through the National Economic Council Director, Larry Kudlow, and also one of the trade and manufacturing advisor, Pierre Navarro, were getting involved in the talks, that they were, you know, that Trump was trying to seek to get to a resolution. I think he's particularly interested in opening some of the plants, like the Ohio plant in Lordstown that had shut down recently, and getting that back opened. And normally you'd think the union would welcome that. That's been one of their stated goals of this strike and one of the things that they're asking for. And yet the union quickly came and said, no, we don't want Trump involved. And I thought this was very notable because, like I said, this should be a big help. You know, having the president on your side, having the White House get involved ought to be helpful to union officials. But my thinking is they are so in bed with the Democrats and the Democrat presidential candidates that they are willing to throw workers under the bus, even, you know, to not get things that they say they want, if that means having to share some of the credit with Donald Trump. And it's really amazing. There was this article, reports about this, and it quickly, it was the union who pushed back hard and said, no, he's not involved and we don't want him involved. But like I said, which is really remarkable. You got all these workers out on strike. A lot of them are Trump voters. Trump's looking to step in and help them. At least that's what this report said. And it's, the union saying, no, we don't want the help of the most powerful person in America, to come in and say, let's find a way to come to an end of this strike. Let's get people back to work. Let's maybe open up some plants that got closed. So I think it kind of goes once again to, you know, union officials, their interests are not the same as the interests of the rank and file. And in all the aspects of this strike, and the corruption and everything else going on, if you look at it through that lens, you can often see, I think, the truth that is so dearly underreported and underappreciated, that, you know, union officials, they have their own interests, whether it be political interests, financial interests, institutional interests, that are not the same as rank-and-file workers, those they claim to represent, but people who really have had no choice in picking this union. I think that's another thing to remember. I mean, GM was organized in the 40s. Literally no worker currently working there had any part in that unionization drive, and yet that is remains today the basis of UAW officials' power over every single worker at GM, including non-members, including those who don't want to be part of the union but are stuck under a union monopoly that they have no choice over.
It's a strange world we're in, and I think that there's no better opportunity than right now to double down in the right-to-work state discussion, because you could say, look, GM's holding the line here. The union's holding the line here. The employees caught in the middle. Many people simply are starting to starve. They're dipping into their savings. They're not going out to eat. They're not able to, you know, live normally. And it's starting to impact the worker the most. They've lost, again, over double what GM has lost and growing. So it seems to me that you could easily educate on right to work, and Donald and Rand Paul and many others who claim they're for this could literally drive a truck through the solution here. But I just don't see anybody hardly talking about it. I see almost a blackout on this. Not quite. They say the strike continues into its whatever day, and by golly, it's crazy. And I mean, they even put on a worker that's suffering for lack of funds and stuff like that. But they don't really dig into the details here. And I think that's what's missing in this discussion, Patrick.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we're trying to do our part, but it's you know, it's difficult to get this out there when you've got a lot of people who you know, in the media, like I said, they're not interested in the details of the story. They like the very simple view, the company versus the union and who's going to win. And never mind that the real losers may be the rank and file, even if it seems like union officials have won. You know, I think that aspect of rebuffing attempts by the Trump administration maybe to get involved and bring, you know, these workers back to work and come to a settlement of the strike, the fact that they didn't want to do that because it would undermine their, you know, preferred candidate's chance of winning in 2020 really says a lot, that this is not about rank and file. This is about the top union bosses and their interest and their money and distracting from the corruption and everything else that's taking place.
All right, there you have it. I find it kind of interesting, to say the least. And I think there's a lot that should be focused on here that isn't. A chance to educate. And I know that righttowork.org is doing their best. So are we. I'm just saying we're, you know, compared to the mainstream press, you know, we're small fish in a big pond. That's for sure. All right, so we appreciate the work you're doing on that. Anything else to catch us up on before we let you fly?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we've talked a lot in the last couple of years about the Janus Supreme Court case. We had one of the best positive developments. Of course, we've seen a lot of blue states, states where the union bosses have a lot of control over state politics, really resist that decision. And once again, that's a decision that says public employees have a First Amendment right not to fund labor unions. So union activities, you can join a union, you can pay dues, but you cannot be required to. But we've had one of the positive developments that we've seen, and that is out of Alaska. Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy up there issued an executive order to double down and proactively protect Alaska state employees' rights. And what it says is every worker needs to opt in, and they need to make it very clear that they want the union to take their money. They understand they have a right not to have that money taken. So it's very simple. It's an opt-in system and just makes it clear you have this right not to pay. You can still have the government collect your union dues for you, but you need to do so, or the government of Alaska is only going to do so after you acknowledge that you have a First Amendment right not to. And that's what's required by law. The government can never assume that any individual has waived a constitutional right. We certainly wouldn't want that. But this implements that in Alaska. It's something we've been pushing on at the National Right to Work Foundation for a long time. And our hope is that this is the first of many states to do this, because there are a lot of states where the political will should be in place to, you know, really go out of their way and proactively protect the First Amendment rights of workers. And union officials are howling about this. They've already filed a lawsuit. But the truth is that's because they're scared that a lot of people are paying money not because they want to, but because they think they have no choice. This executive order makes it clear they do have a choice, and that's why it's a big step forward.
It's a huge step forward, and none of it's being covered. You know, even the GM stories ahead of this one, and neither of them are getting the coverage they deserve, in my humble opinion. This has to do with everybody's income and everyone's free association, Patrick.
Yeah, this is a core First Amendment right, the right to decide who you associate with and what speech you subsidize. The Supreme Court laid that all out very clearly in the 2018 Janus decision at the end of June, and yet you've got all these states that have just gone out of their way to undermine this, and it's really a shame. But here's a nice positive to take away, which is that Alaska is doing the right thing. We just need other states to join them.
Amen to that. We need to put laser light focus on this as well. Patrick, thank you, sir. Keep us posted.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sam.
Patrick Simmons doing a phenomenal job. Righttowork.org. I love these guys. They're in the trenches getting it done, baby. I'm telling you right now, go check out the Janus case if you want proof of their incredible work. All right. Hang tight. More in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Three U.S. House committees want Rudy Giuliani, the president's lawyer, to turn over documents related to his efforts with Ukraine. Giuliani's now being investigated for allegedly pressuring Ukraine to probe former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Giuliani, who has yet to say whether he'll comply with the subpoenas, insists that where there was corruption regarding Ukraine, it involved the Bidens, and not him, and not President Trump.
Is there anybody that believes that Ukraine or China were paying for Hunter Biden's expertise? Or do you have the common sense to realize they were buying Joe Biden's office?
He was speaking on Fox News. Nuclear talks between the U.S. and North Korea to resume this week. A top-ranking North Korean diplomat says they'll start on Friday. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
Breaking news out of Hong Kong, where a protester has reportedly been shot in the chest with a live round by police. It's a big escalation in the use of force by police in that semi-autonomous Chinese city that's been the site of weeks and weeks of pro-democracy protests. Until now, the cops had used only measures like rubber bullets and water cannons. Today's protests coming after China celebrated 70 years of communist rule with a holiday yesterday. New York City police say it was friendly fire that killed a police officer who died in the line of duty over the weekend. The commissioner, James O'Neill, says during a violent struggle, responding officers fired a number of times, striking the suspect as well as the 33-year-old officer, Brian Mulkeen. A heat wave has been baking the southeast, despite the fact we're now into October. It's going to spread into the Midwest and Northeast today. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Drudge is in the news talking about some interesting twists with regards to the Republicans on card.
Well, yeah, these are a couple of headlines from Drudge saying here's the first one, Republican retirement spike. Diminishing hope of retaking House in 2020. Then the next one says Thornberry joins Texas. Now, you know, if you're like me, you go, what does that all mean? You know, we've seen this in the past. This is what happened this last, 2018 election. There were a number of these, what I'd call many times the swamp monsters that don't really want to play ball with the President Trump. They would vote for getting rid of the Obamacare as long as they knew it wasn't going to pass, you know, that kind of stuff. And when it came to really standing up and voting for it, when it really could happen or whatever, then they were like AWOL. So these swamp monsters, I think, are they're just moving on, and many times they'll just be lobbyists or whatever, make big money.
Jeff Flake right now is saying, hey, we'll even vote for a Democrat in 2020, anybody but Trump, and he's doubling down against President Trump to make the point. You've got these Republicans that are literally resigning or retiring or whatever word you want to use for it, getting kicked out, all the above, and they're literally using their clout to derail their own, I don't know what you call it, predecessors in Congress. And so it's a very strange brew, but they're always using this exit term. Everything has an exit twist to it. Now, this is what, Texit?
Yeah, Texitus, they call Texitus. It. You know, an right. Exodus like
Texas. We got to have the know. Exodus, by the way, too, the education yeah. exit, by the way.
Good point. Yeah. Exodus. Anyway, they do call it something like that with when it comes to education. But in this case, there's some big shot Republican down in Texas that has said he's going to retire as well. So, you know, who knows for sure what will happen. But, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The moving you know, seats or whatever on the Titanic there at the
Amen
Washington,
to that. Amen to that. And I'm fine if a lot of the Swamp Monster Republicans go. Anyway, Kurt, what we need to do in our areas, if you have an area that somebody is, what do they call that, texting? Anyway, if you have somebody that's
leaving.
Yeah,
where they're leaving.
You should take the opportunity to make sure that you get a good candidate to run. You need to get enough Americans to put their, you know, pool their resources and fund them and advocate for them and see if we can't get a real constitutionalist in place there.
Imagine that.
So it's an incredible opportunity when these guys are all leaving, because, again, most of them that are leaving are swamp monsters, Kurt. I'm telling you right now.
I think so.
And so it's an opportunity of a lifetime. But, again, will the Americans step up to the plate and hit a grand slam? Only time will tell. We can pray for it and work towards it, and that's what we intend to do.
Yeah.
All right, Donald Trump, poor Donnie, Kurt, is in the news. And Trump says that he deserves to meet...
Don Jr. you're talking about.
Nope, Donald Trump Sr. No? President of the United States.
Senior. Okay, good. All right.
Trump says he deserves to meet the whistleblower. Now listen, I deserve to meet my accuser, says the president. Well, imagine that.
I thought that's kind of how, you know, trials
work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what I find fascinating is a lot of people haven't had a chance to meet their accusers. Ken Cromer, who lost his house to the IRS, hasn't had a chance to meet his accusers either, Kurt. So, you know, Donald's feeling Ken's pain, Kurt. But it applies more to Donald than it does to Ken in our society, sadly. But I think Donald's right on this, and I think everybody should be able to meet their accusers, Kurt. I think that's a fundamental reality of America, and that we've simply lost sight of in recent
decades.
And
that speedy
decades.
Trial kind of stuff really happens big time.
Anyway, it's interesting when Donald starts complaining about things that mere mortals complain about. You know what I mean, Kurt? Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, Donald, maybe you ought to stand up for Ken's right, and then we could stand up for yours, and we could all work together to ensure that right exists. What do you think of that idea, Kurt?
I'm on it.
Don could help Ken could help Don, Sam and Kirk could help Ken and Don, and we could all just, you know, work together.
Yeah, imagine that.
Make America great, you know, do all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
All right, Kanye West is in the news, Kurt. I don't know if you saw this, but we talk about Kanye from time to time. He's what they call a Trump supporter and stuff like that. He's been attacked relentlessly for it, but he's making another sea change in his life. Kanye West will walk away from making, quote, secular music and only do gospel from now on. That's what they're saying, Kurt. What do you think of that?
That's interesting to me, Sam. And he's, you know, I mean, basically you could pretty much say maybe that he's getting religion, if you will. As he gets older, gets a family, you know, he's got, you know, children's and all that kind of stuff. He seems to be... becoming more of a role model, if you know, a worthy role model, I should say.
Yeah, and you know, so I don't know if his songs are gonna be like, "I'm rolling into church, my boss is a jerk." I don't know what he's gonna do, but I'm just saying it's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Now, what rhymes with Jesus?
I predict he's gonna get less and less media coverage when he does this kind of stuff, though.
Amen.
You know,
it's unfortunate.
He's gonna, yes, it is, and that's why we give it to him. You know, frankly. You know, we applaud his efforts to get right with God, et cetera.
Yeah, and I applaud his efforts to focus on that more with his wife and his children. I mean, the problem with Kanye is severalfold. It's a black guy that wants to wear his religion on his sleeve. It's a black guy that's turning his back on a gangster rap kind of an idea. It's a black guy that basically believes in Donald Trump. It's a black guy that believes in a man and a woman marriage and welcoming children to that relationship. And I mean, man, there's everything they would say wrong about Kanye that I would say, man, Brother West is coming to the table, baby, and good for him. I'd love to get Kanye on the radio and talk about a lot of what they're doing, the philanthropy efforts they've got underway, the efforts to help prisoners, the efforts to talk about God and to focus on their church, to focus on, you know, gospel music and stuff like that. I'd like to hear some of Kanye's gospel tunes, because there's a lot of pretty neat gospel tunes out there, and I'll bet Kanye can grand slam that, Kurt.
I'll bet he can.
You know, he's incredibly talented. Now, just because a lot of times in the past, I believe a lot of these, you know, edgy musicians use their talent in ways that I don't believe builds the kingdom of God. So I'm kind of against it. But in this case, hey, you know what? I don't know that Kanye and I agree on all the points of theology, but I agree in general that, hey, he's turning his life to God. And I'm telling you, God can make more of Kanye's life than Kanye can. I'll tell you that right now. Me too. God can make a whole lot more out of my life than I can ever make, Kurt. So I applaud the effort, and I hope we give it coverage, and we'll keep an eye on this ball. And again, I'm not here to debate if Kanye's genuine. I just pray that he is, and I'm delighted to hear the, in my opinion, you know, you got a compass, and God speaks to each one of us if we listen. And he can direct our paths in ways that are just a blessing. And I see this happening for Kanye, and I hope it's genuine and real, and I'll pray for him and his wife and his children. And I just say, you know what, good for Kanye, and I hope he keeps it up, and we'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. He'll probably start going to Chick-fil-A next, won't he, Kurt?
Yep. Going to start singing some tunes for Chick-fil-A and all that stuff. He really
gets, I bet he could come out and just do a free Chick-fil-A, like an ad, like a music public service announcement.
Yeah,
my name is Kanye. I dig Chick-fil-A. You know, kind of a thing, yeah, right?
There you go.
Hey, baby, hey.
Kanye Chick-fil-A.
And I don't know. I'm just saying it's kind of cool, though, if Christians double up and team up on good things, and then we could help, yes, and we could play that as public service announcements, and, you know. And then they could talk about Wendy's and talk about adoption and talk about the solutions as an alternative to abortion and,
oh,
you know,
yeah. There you go.
Me and Kim are going to Wendy to help out with adoptions. My brother Dave, the late brother Dave. And, you know, he could do a great job, right?
Yes, he could.
See, I'm just an amateur. I don't even know what I'm doing. Kanye will put it together and just laugh at me. But, hey, I commend him for his work, and our prayers are with him and his family. That's all. All right. Violent crime, Kurt, decreased in 2018, they say, with a 6% drop in the murder rate. Now, Kurt, I wish for a way bigger drop than
6%. 6%?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm for way more than that, but I'm just saying it's a start.
Yeah, good point.
Maybe if Kanye starts cranking out the Christian tunes, people will become a little more Christian, and people will consider a little more their status before God.
You know, recite the Ten Commandments in there.
Who, Kanye?
Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, it'd be like, don't kill your brother.
Yeah.
He belongs to another mother. Come on, right? See, and we could just, you know, throw down some tracks there, Kurt. Kurt Cosby could be in there going, I sell raw honey.
Of course. Yeah.
See what I mean?
That's right.
By the way, if you want to get raw honey directly delivered to your door, go to localhoneyman.com, or you can text or call 801-669-2211 as well. Raw honey delivered directly to your door.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, I'm delighted about violent crime decreasing. I just wish there was more of it, folks. We can lead the charge, though, by our example and by the things that we do, following the Prince of Peace, working with Kanye, all of us just doing phenomenal stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, man, Kurt, you eat a bunch of that red meat, don't you? Whenever I go out with Kurt, I'm like, Kurt, you want some chicken? He's like, no, I want some red meat.
Steak.
Kurt's hardcore for that. We'll talk about it in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam. He's Kurt. Thank you for listening. Donate today if you have the heart to help the Widow's Mite Radio Network. LibertyRoundtable.com.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there, and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby. Kanye West, Jesus Walks, Sunday service. Kanye's got it going on. All right. Is red meat bad for you? New research says, Kurt, you can't prove it. It's been a staple of science, quote, in the dietary world for a long time. Hey, red meat's bad for you. You got to go more like chicken and fish and that kind of stuff. And don't eat the red meat. But now they're saying that scientific so-called fact has been debunked in the latest research study, Kurt. And they say red meat, you know, you can't prove that it's bad for you. There's just no scientific evidence that that is the case, Kurt.
Well, isn't that shocking, Sam? I mean, it's just amazing when they come up with this kind of stuff.
I don't understand the red meat term personally. I'm kind of stupid.
Well, yeah. Plus, it's their way of, you know, saying how, I mean, they're taking a shot at it. But especially a shot, I think, at like the ranchers and guys like that that basically have their, you know, cattle on, you know, on those mountains and that kind of stuff, you know. And yet I believe that, you know, people could get a little bit of steak, you know. I'm not talking about you have to just, you know, eat all meat or anything like that. But, you know, a little steak with all those vegetables and, you know, it's just fantastic if it's done right. Hey, that's just how I
Yeah, think, and I like to get that steak with a little bit of marbling in it, too. And eat a little bit of steak, a little bit of fat, a little bit of steak, you know, a bunch of vegetables.
Yeah, I think that's even just good brain food, right?
Ooh, yeah. Now, but what I don't understand is why do they call it red meat, Kurt? Just help me understand this. I'm just kind of stupid.
Well, it's red when you before you cook it, Sam. Yeah.
Why, Kurt? Let me just ask this.
Well, I
because of the blood.
It has some of the blood.
What about the chickens and the ducks and the, you know, turkeys?
Well, they have blood in them too.
Yeah, so that's not red meat, Kurt.
It doesn't seem like I see that meat
with
that
the blood
color.
In it?
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's just because of the color of the meat.
I see. So if there's blood in the meat, you know, and if you cook it medium rare, though, there's no blood left when you're done or anything, right?
Well, I think it's the best way to eat it so that you have some of the good enzymes and things left in it.
Yeah, you don't want to cook it all out of there.
So you can digest it.
That's right. Wow. Anyway, new research says you can't prove it. So, you know, hey, there you go. Yeah. Joe Biden, Kurt's in the news, and he's dramatically scaling back his, quote, digital ad buys, while his fellow Democratic opponents are cranking up their digital ad presence. Kurt, what do you think of that?
Well, that'll get him a lot less love in the digital world, right, Sam?
Yes, it will. Now, do you think he just thinks he's got it in the bag and so he doesn't need to do that, or do you think he's just old school strategy? What do you think's wrong with Joe? Or do you think he realizes he's a failed candidate already?
I at least I sometimes what I like to at least I see these guys. They go, "Hey man, if I keep a hold of the $10 million that I got in there, I can use it later instead of just wasting it on this, you know, lost campaign." But I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but all I know is this: he's scaling back while others are moving forward boldly with digital ad campaigns. And you know, I find that fascinating. Now, I find that they say, well, his fellow Democratic opponents, I don't know that you call your opponents fellow, do you, Kurt? Really? Is that the way you refer to?
Good point. Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas.
I just say his opponents are ramping up online buys. So I kind of find that interesting. Part of the problem is people are afraid to criticize Joe and criticize Warren, Kurt. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a reason they're afraid of it. I mean, look at what's happened so far in these Democratic debates. As far as I know, I don't think Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren won any of them, according to the votes that I saw with them. And yet the winners, the actual winners of those debates have basically been, you know, just pushed off and people are not even able to hear from them, right, Sam?
That's exactly right. And I don't really understand what that all means, except for it just proves that if the media wants someone to be a front runner or to stay around, then they will, regardless of the truth or anything else, right, Kurt? I mean, it doesn't seem to matter.
They're the chosen ones.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell.
But not if we can help it, right, Kurt? We're gaining presence, and, you know. But I just find that fascinating. So I think that it's a sign that Joe's running out of cash and Joe can't keep up and Joe's going to get left behind. Old creepy Grandpa Joe's getting left behind there. So we'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. Kurt wants to tell you about a prophet who wants to kill all Christians, Kurt. Joe Kovacs with the piece.
Well, Sam, this is kind of heavy, you know, story.
Yes, it is. It's kind
it's
of
not a prophet. It's a professor.
Professor. All right. Well, you know, when they here's what's interesting. Yeah. You got these news things that just P-R-O-F. And tell me, is that prophet,
right?
Professor, or prophet, or what?
That's short for professor.
I see.
In this
what's short
case.
For prophet, and Kurt?
I don't think they want to talk about any kind of prophet in the media,
oh,
Sam.
Oh, good point.
They pretty much just want to talk about making money, that kind of profit. That's the only kind they want to talk about. But in this case, WorldNet Daily's got this piece, and you know, it says headline, prof or professor who wants to kill all Christians, and he wants to clock Trump, you know.
I assume this guy's not a Christian, right, Kurt?
Now he sues. Subheadline, hopes to bury believers deep in the ground. Joe Kovacs with the piece. And, you know, this guy who taught English at Kirkwood Community College in Cedar Rapids, he wrote online that he wants to stop evangelical Christians and kill them all and bury them deep in the ground. It's not pretty and I'm not proud, he wrote, but seeing what evangelical Christians are doing to this country and its people fills me with rage and a desire to exact revenge. I guess boasting of being a part of the often violent far-left group Antifa, he responded to President Trump describing Antifa in a tweet as radical left whack jobs who go around hitting people over the heads with baseball bats.
Hmm. That doesn't sound I thought crime was going down and stuff like that.
Yeah. Says he reacted on Twitter, "Yeah, I know who I'd clock with a bat." Says the professor resigned after school officials removed him from class, citing safety concerns.
Wow, do you know who I'd clock with a bat, Kurt, given the chance?
Go ahead.
No one.
Yeah.
Why do you want to hit somebody with a bat, Kurt?
Well, it seems like
we
it's
can disagree agreeably,
than,
and we can be kind. You know, and I might disagree gentle. With people big time, but I'm not really interested in hitting anybody with a bat. Now, the only time I might want to hit somebody with a bat is if I had to defend my children or my wife or something like that in a God-given right of self-defense. Otherwise, I don't want to hit anybody with a bat, Kurt. Even
Good
people
point.
Who are my quote political opponents or whatever you want to call them, even people in the culture war who I completely disagree with, I wouldn't even hit Bill Clinton with a bat given the chance, Kurt. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, imagine that.
Why would I want to do that? By the way.
So this guy now, he's going to sue his former school for how the officials handled blowback to his controversial online statements. I mean, it's just amazing to me, you know. So many times good gets called evil and whatever. But it goes on, but that's the bottom line.
The bottom line is this guy's a nutcase, ladies and gentlemen. What do you expect from these professors, right, Kurt?
Well, it's so sad, Sam, because they know that all they got to do, you've heard this and seen this in your history. If you had a professor and he believes a certain way, if you're going to go against him, you're not going to get the A, Sam. And so you know what the professor wants to know, what answer he wants, he or she wants, or I don't know, whatever pronoun you're going to give them, what they want, you better give it to them or else you're going to be out. And in this case, one more example of it, huh?
Yes, sir. I guess now scientists find huge world, Kurt, of hidden galaxies?
Well, Sam, isn't this shocking?
I don't think it's shocking. I think it's been obvious forever that's the case, Kurt.
I know that I was kind of playing tongue-in-cheek, Sam. The headline reads, as you said, scientists find huge world of hidden galaxies changing our understanding of the universe. Subheadline, previously unknown webs of stars are more spectacular than our own, say researchers. Do you think those scientists are always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth?
Well, if they acknowledge God's out there, you know, then I think it would help them, Kurt, with their knowledge.
Imagine
and
that.
I also think even their, what do you want to say, scientific understanding. Now, I know they kind of don't like to bring that up, but I think it's helpful to understand. Right?
That's right. This piece comes to us from what's called the independent.co.uk. So it's across the pond. And, you know, what I like about it is, Sam, they don't have any place in it where it talks about, you know, God and all that kind of stuff. But they do at least mention that they found this as a treasure trove. Representing these huge set of galaxies that, hey, they just didn't know they were out there before. And so they got some bigger telescopes, and now, doggone it, they found more stuff than they thought was out there before, Sam.
But I still have a little bit of
sure
beef
fries.
With it all, Kurt.
Beef with it all? Is that a reference to the previous story? You know, they quote one person, Tao Wang, T-A-O Wang, from the University of Tokyo, and says, this is the first time that such a large population of massive galaxies was confirmed during the first 2 billion years of 13.7 billion year life of the universe. Did you know that these guys figured out the universe has been around for 13.7 billion? I mean, these guys are so smart, Sam. I mean, wow.
Well, let me tell you what I don't like about it. I don't like it when they say, hey, all these other stars, you know, we didn't even know this existed. Now we're going to already tell you that their stars and their, you know, night skies or whatever you call it, are more beautiful or more elaborate, or I don't know what word they're using, but more than our own. Okay, it's always like, hey, aliens are always smarter than us. They're always better than us. They're always, okay, I don't like that comparison. I'm not so sure that we would say one of God's creations is much more spectacular than the other, per se. I just think that there's a great universe and solar system, and there's no end to God's creations. And I'm just telling you right now, to be astounded or surprised by that is naive. And then to try to compare the two is even more naive, as if one's better than the other or more important or whatever. Let's just be grateful God exists. Let's celebrate his creations, and let's make sure that we fulfill the measure of our creation by being obedient to our Creator, shall we? That would be my take on the story. Thanks so much for being alongside for the ride. Education at your fingertips. This is LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. Spread the word. Live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's how we roll. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.